something that we should take away, and whatever way we become better means we've been impacted. And in a sense, that's a continuation of who she was, what she was. The Gemara uses a phrase in two places, and those two places are very, very different. And trying to get a sense of the two aspects of the same idea, I think will give us a very big picture about one of the core vital necessities for life. The Gemara says that Eov, who suffered so much, it says that the only thing that he had going for him that kept him alive were his friends. And the Gemara uses a phrase, O chavrusa ki chavrei Eov. Either a person lives with friends like Eov's friends, O misusa, or a person cannot exist. If you think about it, his friends came when he was suffering so much. Whatever words they offered didn't help. Not only did they help, but when God finally appeared, he said, you were wrong. The answer you gave to Eov about suffering is not right. So what did they do? What was the point of it? It's one thing if they would come and set everything right, and help him in some way, at least help him understand the situation, we'd understand the critical necessity for his friends. But they didn't. It says, even when they came, it says they came Lodas Rosh to shake their heads with him. Not to offer words of explanation, not of words of understanding, but to shake their heads along. So what was their role exactly? And the answer is that just like physically carrying a package, the heavier it is, the harder it is, when someone helps me carry it, I'm holding one side, he's the other side, it makes it bearable, makes it easier. Emotionally, when I feel that someone else is shouldering part of it, not that he's doing anything, not that he's ameliorating it in any way specifically, but he's there with me, then it also is something that a person feels, he's able to carry a lot more when two people are carrying it, or when more people are carrying it. They came. When you shake your head, means you're with the person. And obviously it's not perfunctory, it's not just shaking your head just to be yotze, but when you hear something that moves you, there's a body language that comes with it. And for them to have come with him to be there so that they can absorb some of his angst, some of his suffering, some of his emotional and mental suffering, was the reason why he's able to go through. That's one place where the Gemara uses that language of O chavrusa O misusa. There's a second place, almost 180 degrees opposite. There's a Gemara in Tainus. The Gemara speaks about Choni Amagel, who was a very, very big Chacham, the leader of his generation, possibly. And because of a story, he fell asleep, slept over a generation, woke up 70 years later, and came back into the Beis Medrash. Nobody recognized him. Nobody cared for him. I mean, he didn't starve. He had what to eat. He had what to sleep. But he was totally insignificant. Basically, no one gave the time of the day. And he asked to be taken to this world. And the Gemara again says, O chavrusa, o misusa. Either a person has friends, or his life is not worth living. But the whole suffering that you say, what exactly was it? My Rebbe Reb Chaim Sholevitz used to quote the introduction to a great Talmudic work. The work is called Kuntres Asfagos, for those of you who've studied it. It's one of the great Talmudic works, not at all related to any Musar, just very, very dry and very, I would say dry, but pure Talmudic logic and so on. And he writes introduction, he quotes the Sefer, and my Rebbe Reb Chaim Sholevitz was very fond of quoting it. He says, if a man were to go up to the stars and see the wonders of the universe, but have nobody to communicate it to, then it would be not only meaningless to him, it would be very frustrating to him. Because a person doesn't exist and can't exist only in his own circle. It's not only as regards suffering, but joy, accomplishment, and so on. Those are things that a person lives it only when he shares it. The halacha is we make 7 blessings for a bride and a groom at the wedding. The first blessing has nothing to do with the bride and groom. It's about the people that have come to give honor to them. Because in a certain sense, that's the crux of the simcha. Because these people have come and given honor, they're emulating God in a very profound way. And we start by blessing the crowd, mentioning it. Shahakol bar l'chvodo. So we see both ends of it. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lo tov liyos adam levado, a person cannot exist alone, it meant it both for times of difficulty and for times when a person wants to realize himself. When a person has accomplished, when a person has experienced positively, a person needs to have somebody to share it with, or else he cannot survive, cannot exist. I'm thinking a little bit about what would be fitting things to do to commemorate and to bring a schus to life of someone who suffered so deeply. I couldn't think of something so much in line with what I understood were the person's qualities and sufferings. My mother-in-law, Alel Shalom, was extremely devoted to people. 24/7, she's always helping people. And the area specifically most strongly involved were medical referrals. So there's this person who had some issue, and she called a few times. My mother-in-law tried a few different specialists and approaches, you know, etc. At some point, none of the options were viable anymore, and she called up my mother-in-law. And my mother-in-law said to her, you know, I've racked my brains, I've exhausted every possible avenue that I could think of, and I've asked around. I don't think really there's much more I could do for you. And the woman answered and said, you know, Rebbe Finkel, there are so many gemachs today. Gemach of an ear is also a very important gemach. Listening to me, just because I don't have who I can speak to, is in itself a tremendous facet. It's hard because each and every one of us has their own life, and we're all taxed, and we're all stretched. And it's usually the people who, for whatever reason, have a difficulty, whether it's because of personal ambitions, because of where they are in society, because of just personal struggles, they're the ones that tend to fall out of our range of sound. Understanding the Rav by us in the shul says, you know, people pride themselves on Kosis Orchim. We tend to invite the people whose company we enjoy. So when I invite somebody who I would usually enjoy, and that's wonderful. But the person who, for whatever reason, has difficulty connecting, quote unquote, it's their own fault, doesn't mean anything. Being their quote unquote own fault means that they have chains of some sort that makes it very difficult for them. I guess to sort of think of ways in which we can reach out, both in times of people's difficult times, and maybe much more important, in times of when a person is in the mood to share something positive. Sometimes when tragedy strikes, we do make an effort, and we reach out. That's good. But when a person wants to tell people about what's happening good in their lives, we don't think it's an emergency, and slowly the person feels less and less noticed, less and less reached out to. I want to share a story that one of the most painful conversations I ever had was as follows. There was a boy who started out yeshiva, nice boy, for whatever reason, he was kind of overlooked. That was just the type of personality, no reason bad or anywhere, just. He came up to once and says, I want to ask you a question. I want to try to understand something. I said, sure. He said, you know, every single Simchas Torah, when the Gabbai, after 2.5 hours, gives a clap and says, did anybody in the shul still not get an aliyah? You know who stands, raises his hands? Me. This year I decided I'm going to change things. And I stood next to the Gabbai from the beginning of Kriyas HaTorah until the end. And do you know when I got my aliyah? When the Gabbai said, is there anybody here who still hasn't had an aliyah? And it was very, very painful to listen. He wasn't coming with a complaint, wasn't coming with a taina, was coming to simply ask himself, why am I ignored? Why does nobody ever think of me ahead of somebody else? Why am I never thought of? Each person's yisoyim, each person's test in life, and each person's burdens and goals, that's destined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is something that no one can know before him. But notice, to keep noticing who is the person who would need the reaching out to. The person that who's not sought out. When you seek them out, when you invite them for a simcha, when you come to somebody's simcha. I was once, as a boy in yeshiva, as a bach in the yeshiva, there was somebody who worked in the kitchen, also sort of a forgotten person. He made a bris for a child, and not a single person showed up for the suddin. And it was very painful, obviously. I guess becoming mindful of it, beginning to notice people, and keeping an eye out for the person that needs to be noticed especially. Reaching out when you feel the person has a time, special time of stress, and reaching out when just you feel the person needs to be noticed, the person needs to express their own humanity, their own sense of being part of society. If we would do that, I guess every time we do it, we might save lives. We certainly would save people. People would feel wanted, appreciated, liked. If I can say a story in the opposite genre, from somebody who was awesome going at it, I was once sitting in Chaim Berlin Yeshiva at a Yontif get-together of Rav Kook. And Rav Kook was a tremendous genius. His Yontif get-togethers were extraordinary. He was very deep, sort of wolf of Torah, and it was incredible. It was, every Yontif get-together was incredible. I would go this one, I was still in Yeshiva, I went there. During the break between one Torah session and the other one, I heard two people talking. These were older people. They had obviously been to Yeshiva a very long time ago. And I heard one say, "Gilbert, do you know why I keep coming back to Chaim Berlin?" He said, "I down here Rosh Hashanah, and for Berachas Kohanim, I had to go to Gavur. So one of 700 people, or whatever, 200 people needed to be smashed, I could choose to go to Gavur. After davening, when we went around to wish Rosh Hashiva good year, he tells me, Chaim, I missed you for Berachas Kohanim." So he said, "So I'm noticing, I have a place here. That's why I keep coming here." And people need a place. And a place means, like it says by Shaul, you will be missed. Your place is empty. And giving over that sense to people gives them, infuse them life. Minimally, it will help keep them. And hopefully, it will give them a shot of life, a shot of fuse, and Bezus Hashem, many, many more people will flower, blossom, and start breathing and becoming full-blown members of society. Now, a chizuk in it should be a source of the Mishnas.